Shall we start with mantra? Today we are in the last chapter of the second half. Urdhva mulo vakshakha esho svatha sanatanah tadeva shukram tad brahma tadivamritam uchyate tasmin loka shrita sarve tatunatyeti kashchana etadvaitat. Urdhva mulo. Urdhva mulah was roots are up. Avakshakha, whose branches are down. This is banyan tree. Ashvatha. Eshaha Ashvatha Sanatana. And its name is Ashvatha. This is Ashvatha Sanatana. Eternal Ashvatha. This image of the tree of Ashvatha was used for the image of the universe. And there are different treatments, different approaches to this image. In the Gita, in chapter 15, you have to liberate yourself from this Ashvatha by cutting it down. Here we will see different image, more Vedic. There is nothing to cut. Urdhva mulo, up the roots. Avakshakha, down the branches. This is Eshah, Ashvatha, Sanatana. This is the banyan tree, Ashvatha, immortal, infinite, Sanatana. Tadeva shukram tant brahma, that is pure, that is spirit. Tadeva amritam uchyate, that is called amritam, the immortality. Let us read what Sri Aurobindo translates. Yama speaks, this is an eternal Ashvatha tree whose root is above, but its branches are downward. It is he that is called the Bright One and the Brahman and immortality. And in him are all the worlds established. None goes beyond him. This is that thou seekest. So you see different image. In the Gita, Krishna says you have to cut it down to liberate yourself. Here, there is a more Vedic, more dynamic image of the cosmos. That is what you seek, he says. The leaves of this Ashvatha tree are the leaves of those shakhas which are growing down are the Vedas. And most probably those greenery, yes, leaves and flowers, they are Vedic hymns, Vedic knowledge. It's in another image, not here. Yadidam kimcha jagat sarvam prana ejati nihsritam mahad bhayam vajram udyatam ya etad vidur amritaste bhavanti. All this universe of motion moves in the prana, and from the prana also it proceeded. A mighty terror is he, yea, a thunderbolt uplifted. Who know him are the immortals. It is still that Vedic which later you will not find. You will not find the usage of the word bhaya in a later tradition. Bhaya, the fear. Yadidam kimcha jagat sarva. Whatever.
My teacher will see.
Yes, I will come word by word. You will see the whole picture. Yad idam kimcha, whatever here, jagat sarvam, moves, all moves, all is the world, lives, prane ejati nihsritam, it moves in prana, being ejected into prana. Yeah? Prane nihsritam. Mahadbhayam vajram udyatam. And this vajram udyatam, the thunderbolt uplifted, risen, udyatam, vajram, mahadbhayam, great terror, ye etad viduh, those who know it, amritaste bhavanti, they become indeed immortal. Now, there is an image of vajra which is used in a devayana path. And there are two paths, Pitriyana and Devayana. So this, in this path, when one dies, one moves then to the sun, to the moon, and then the final to the lightning, thunderbolt. The Purusha of lightning meets the soul, and he is liberated. Now I am giving you this image of Devayana, that the last stage is this lightning. Here it is used again, just to remind us that imagery which is used in the Veda. That lightning is a great terror, and those who know him become immortal. Now, terror is a wrong word to translate into English. It means something different than bhaya. And if we dwell on this bhaya, we will see what it means. We did many times in our Vedic studies. Bhayam is from root bhi, to be tense. To be tense in the being. The fear is something, if we think about fear, what it is, it would make a lot of sense. What do you think fear is, according to you? Some of you were not there in our Vedic studies, though they have no idea what I'm talking about. What is fear, fundamentally? What is happening when we are afraid? Something is happening to us. Yes, we are shrinking. What is it, psychologically? What do you experience? Where it is coming from? What is it?
I will die or I will be hurt.
Yes, but what is the reason of you? You are reacting on something.
Reacting against something. Insecurity, threatening.
Threatening what?
Fear, pain.
Pain.
Death or pain.
To be. To be or not to be? That is the question. No? Is it not?
No.
To be or not to be is not the fear?
To be or not to be is not the
fear. No. No fear?
I am, I'm not afraid.
For me.
And what is for you fear? Oh, it's interesting.
It's coming from my conscience. It's coming out.
No, but what is it?
I think when you go behind
you're afraid.
I think when you go behind it, you always find it to be or not to be. Because when you leave inside, no, you be, you're there and there's no fear. It's a shadow. Fear is the aspect of shadow. Fear is the unknown.
Fear comes from the unknown.
From the unknown.
One.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. From the known.
You with a knife, I'm afraid, and I know you, and I know the knife. There is nothing there. I know the knife and being killed me. My being is threatened. In fact,
yeah,
being is
you
not.
You don't
object.
Want to be dead. How is it?
Yeah.
So
I don't want to be
it's
dead.
It's unknown to you also. So it's only the one reason.
And what I wanted to say.
Yes.
Yes. What I was suggesting is that the bhi, if we analyze roots in Sanskrit, bha, bhi, bhu, bhri, the whole set of roots, as Sri Aurobindo proposes, we will see that bha is appearance, shining appearance, direct being, light. Whereas bhi would be a tension, gathering of that light into It's like Bha is Maheshwari and Bhi will be Mahakali. Huh? This is the one-pointed spear. Huh? It's like you point all your being, it shrinks. Why? There can be many reasons. But the reason in a Vedic mythology, how it is described, is one in one myth of Shatapatha Brahmana, where he was alone at the beginning. Atman was alone at the beginning. He looked around and he didn't find anybody except himself. And he said, I am, but there was no other name to say. So, and he felt fear, he got afraid from this I am. And then Shatapatha Brahmana says, yes, indeed, fear comes to the one who alone is. But then he thought, from whom I am afraid of if there is nobody, only me? And fear disappeared. Shatapatha Brahmana says, yes, indeed, fear comes from another. So he anticipated the otherness of self in himself, and then he wanted another. Sadvitiyamaichat. From here starts the creation. What is interesting, that fear, tension in him, appeared as anticipation of another. He looked around looking for another. There was nobody, only he was there. He knew himself already fully. He was fully identified with his consciousness. He didn't have to know anybody else. There was no other. And there was already tension in him to have another, to have this. So the fear comes from otherness of self, from the unknown, from something we are not. And it's very interesting that in this sense, this bhayam, if we read it with these eyes, we will see that it means something else. This tension in the being. Mahat bhayam vajram udhyatam ya etad vidur amritasti bhavanti. A mighty tension, a mighty concentration of power is he. Would you like such translation? Of course, for us it's a terror. For our small being, diluted in the darkness, assimilated, it's unbearable. Mother says if Mahakali touches this earth, it will burst into, it will destroy the earth. Mahakali is not invoked because she is mercilessly loving, full of power, of this bhi, of this tension of the being. I am reinterpreting roots from etymological point of view for us to see that our understanding of these words is very different nowadays. Fear. That's the only way how we may know the power and light and intention of the divine being. Tension, inward tension, intention. Bhayad, and now it continues. It's good that we stopped at this word. Bhayad asyagnih tapati, bhayad tapati suryah. Bhayat indrascha vayuscha mrityur dhavati panchamah. For fear of him the fire burns. For fear of him the sun gives heat. For fear of him Indra and Vayu and death hasten in their courses. It is from fear of him. It is from his tension, from his absolute power, being and knowledge, that everything moves and does its work. The fire is burning, the sun is shining, Indra and Vayu and even death are doing their jobs. It says something about an absolute power, absolute being there. And we will see how Katha will develop, how Yama will develop this thought. He will speak about being and beingness and not non-being. This is the conclusive chapter and it's quite interesting.
What is the Panchama related to?
Panchama, because the fifth, you can see Agni, Surya, Indra, Vayu, Mrityu, Panchama. Now we can of course dwell on them more and see something more to it, the whole Vedic ritualism. Because we see Surya, we see Vayu and Agni, this is the trinity of earth, space in between and heaven, the whole thing. We see Indra on one side, Indra the transcendental interference, and Mrityu from another side. So the holistic picture of all these five are doing the work because of his excessive energy and presence. Iha ched ashakat bodhum prak sharirasya visrasah tatah sargeshu lokeshu shariratvaya kalpate. If in this world of man and before thy body fall from thee, thou wert able to apprehend it, then thou availest for embodiment in the worlds that he creates. Iha ched ashakat bodhum, if you are able to comprehend or to awaken, if you were able to awaken here in the body, before the body is dropped, prak visrasah sharirasya, before you die, separate from the body, in the body, tatah sargeshu lokeshu shariratvaya kalpate, then thou availst for embodiment in the worlds that he creates. Not clear. Actually, kalpate, yes, Shubhendu translates as availst. Kalpate means you fit or you are suiting. Yes, well, capable, yes. You fit for the embodiment in the worlds of his creation. Yeah?
There's a service offered and you want it, so you avail yourself of it.
Yeah.
In Vajrayana Buddhism, you have this same imagery and idea. In fact, there is a whole school of practice based upon this idea and this realization and this experience. It's Vajrayana Buddhism.
Right.
And there's one essay of mine comparing Kobo Daishi and Sri Aurobindo's verses, in which this Vajrapadi embodiment is described in a very parallel way. Mm-hmm. And that particular Buddhist teacher was also, his school was a school of mantra.
Mm-hmm. Vajrayana school is very unusual in a way. It deals with the body and even immortality of the body, something which other Buddhism didn't really take on, didn't develop. We have also this Vajrayana school very popular in Russia, in St. Petersburg, by the way, and all my friends are in that particular direction. They are not Sri Aurobindonians.
There are many parallels.
Yes.
Besides the Tibetan and Japanese Shingon, is there any other Vajrayana?
Well, the Shingon comes from the Tibetan, and that's mainly it. But all of their basis is Veda, also the Rig Veda mantras they chant as part of their practice. So there are many Tibetan chants to Indra and Vayu and Agni.
Yeah. In Buddhism, even Ganesha is there, you would be surprised.
But here we can embody these words. What does it mean in this?
This is a Vedic imagery. Yes? If you were able to comprehend, to awaken to him here in the body, before the body is dropped, if you got this liberation, thus you would fit to be in this world of creation.
We
are not really fitting for this creation. Yes, we are born, but...
Would it mean you later on in the physical you would be automatically awakened the other things?
No, it doesn't mean to be awakened in physical. It means to be awakened before death, not after death, not dropping the body. Before the death, in the body. Then you would fit... It's exactly what Isha says, yes? All this is for habitation by the Lord. Therefore enjoy yourself with all this, as Lord does. Doing here verily works. One should wish to live 100 years. Only thus and not otherwise the karma does not stick to man. This is the same idea. You fit to be for this embodiment when you realize the spirit. And you cannot fit for this embodiment in this creation before you realize it. And it's quite reasonable to say it, no? We are all on the way to find that fitness to his creation. Yathā darshe tathātmani yathā svapne tathāpi triloke yathāpsu pariva dadrishe tathā gandharva loke chāya tapayoho iva brahma loke. Now, there is a comparison how it is seen in different worlds, because he said here, before the body, here in the body. Now he will compare how it is seen in different lokas, not only in the loka of Bhurloka, in the world. Yathā darshe, it is as if in the mirror, tathātmani, thus you see yourself in yourself, as if in the mirror. In the self one sees God as in a mirror, but as in a dream in the world of the fathers. And as in water one sees the surface of an object, so one sees him in the world of the Gandharvas. But he is seen as light and shade in the heaven of the spirit. These are experiential things, I am sure, and they have something else to say which we may not know. Why it is compared that as if in the water you see in the world of Gandharvas, as if in the dream you see in the world of Pitris, as if in the mirror you see God in yourself, and you see, but he is seen as light and shade in the heaven of the spirit. Then again, light and shade, chaya tapah. Again, this Vedic imagery of the light and the chaya and the shadow dropped by that light. We have this, the superconscient ocean and inconscient ocean as a shadow dropped from it. The first creation.
Gandharvas
are those singers. Heavenly singers and apsarasas, beautiful beings, usually beings of art and music. Indriyanam prithag bhavam udayastam mayau chayat prithag utpadyamananam matva dhiro nashochati. Indriyanam prithag bhavam udaya astamayau. Udaya Astam Ayo. So, rising and setting down. Yes? The calm soul, having comprehended the separateness of the senses and the rising of them and their setting and their separate emergence, puts from him pain and sorrow. The calm soul, having comprehended the separateness of the senses, indriyanam prithag bhavam udaya astamayau chayat, which are rising and setting, prithak utpadyamananam, and their separate emergence of them, utpadyamananam, matva, having thought, having comprehended, puts from him pain and sorrow, dhiro na shochati. Now this observation that the senses are temporarily, that they are rising and setting, that they are disturbed and they are calmed down, then you see their temporarily character in every aspect. Having thought about it, you become free from that. Well, not so easy, yes? But it's the beginning. Beginning of thinking. Yes, there is no calm soul here, unfortunately. Dhira. Dhira is a wise man who observes this behavior. It's very, in a way, Buddhistic.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. In Dzogchen teaching, this arising is attributed to the simultaneity of sanskaras and samadhi, where they are thought to be one, where that state of spontaneous arising of light sees samskaras and samadhi in one simultaneous moment. So it's, the senses are there, but they are totally subjugated to this power.
So there can be another meaning, deeper meaning, when you see them, that they are rising and they are setting down simultaneously.
Like the light and the shadow.
Yes, you see together. Then you become free from it. Anyhow, Katha was compared with Buddhism many times. It has many Buddhistic ideas. Or Buddhism later developed these ideas, because Katha was before Buddhism. So, indriyebhyah param mano manasa sattvam uttamam sattvadadhi mahanatma mahato vyaktam tamam avyaktattu parav purusho vyapako alinga evacha yam jnatvam uchyate jantur amritatvam chagachati. But I think there is an extra syllable. Avyaktat parav purusho vyapako linga evacha. So two is extra syllable, most probably added later. Breaks the flow of the anushtup. So, from indriyas, the mind is higher than the senses. And higher than the mind is the genius. Genius?
Oh, my genius.
So the mind is the thought, is what Sri Aurobindo writes.
And above the genius is the mighty spirit, and higher than the mighty one is the unmanifested.
This is Sri Aurobindo's psychology.
Yeah, it's also very sankhyayik, yeah? Indriyebhyah param manah. Here we are straightening up that phrase, you remember? Indriyebhyah param, what was the arthah?
Yeah.
And was absolutely and incredibly shifted, which we couldn't solve. But here it is straightened up again, back to normal. Higher than the indriyas is mind, manas. Higher than manas is sattva, the beingness, the being. And sattva dadhi mahan atma, and the great atma, self, is higher than sattva, and mahato avyaktam uttamam. So we have the whole hierarchy, pre-sankhyayag hierarchy of levels. In Sankhya it will be differently defined. After manas there will be ahamkara, which is here called as sattva. After ahamkara will be buddhi, which is mahanatman. It is also called mahanatman. And then we have the pradhana, prakriti, and beyond avyakta. The next line, avyakta tu parav purushah. And from avyakta, there is transcendental, but highest above the unmanifested is the Purusha, who pervades all and alone has no sign, no feature. Mortal man, knowing him, is released into immortality. So it is by knowing him beyond unmanifested that we are becoming free, released into immortality. Now, Buddhism is not going that far. It's not interesting, most probably, to go that far, because you have to deal here so much already with senses and other things, that to think about transcendental to transcendental no use for the psychological practice, as they say. But Katha has another opinion, and we will see what Katha will say. Katha Upanishad. Nasam drishe tishthati rupam asya na chakshusha pashyati kashchanainam hrida manisha manasabhikliptah. Ye etad viduram ritaste bhavanti. God has not set his body within the ken of seeing, neither does any man with the eye behold him, but to the heart and the mind and the supermind he is manifest. Who know him are the immortals. Nasandrishe tishthati rupam asya. His form is of no comparison to any other form. This is Nachakshusha pashyati kashyanainam. Nobody can see him with the eye, with the sight. Hrida manisha manasabhi klipta. It is by in the heart and the mind, or by the heart and the mind, the wise, abhikliptah, manisha, by the wisdom of intellect, he is abhikliptah. He can be dwelled upon. He can be... And those who know him, they become immortal. Now, his form is of no comparison to any other form. You can't really say what it is. And you can't see it with the sight, with the eye. But only by the mind and this higher intellect and this heart that you can make an image of him, or finally you can make an image of abhiklipta, kalpana from here, imagery. You can imagine him, and those who know him, they become immortal, not those who imagine him. those who dwell in, and it will be developed later. You will see, you're absolutely right. Yada pancha avatishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhishchana vicheshtati tam ahu paramam gatim. Yada pancha avatishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhishchana vicheshtati tam ahu paramam gatim. When the five senses, pancha, sees and are at rest, and the mind rests with them, and the higher mind ceases from its workings, that is the highest state, say thinkers. Well, much to do. But you can see also here is suggestion of what Yoga Sutras of Patanjali later developed. Yada pancha avatishtante jnanani manasasa. When the five senses sees and are at rest in the mind, together with the mind. So there is this pratyahara, so to say, withdrawal of senses into the mind. And buddhi navicheshtati is not active. That state is called paramangati. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. This is what later was developed in Yoga Sutras.
Is this jnanani here related to the pancha, or is it just the knowing?
I think these would be
the knowings of the senses or of the mind.
No, pancha jnanani, yes.
Pancha jnanani.
Because these will be jnanendriyas. Yes, indriyas of knowledge, the indriyas of cognition. Later they are called jnanendriyas and karmendriyas, two types. In Samkhya philosophy. Tam yogam iti manyante. It's exactly, that is yoga called, yes? Yoga, exactly as the definition of Patanjali. Tam yogam iti manyante. Sthiram indriya dharanam. Sthiram indriya dharanam. Apramattastada bhavati yogohi prabhavapyayaut. The state unperturbed when the senses are imprisoned in the mind, of this they say it is yoga. This is the definition of yoga. Sthiram indriya dharanam, the state of steady holding of the senses. When the senses are held steadily, dharana, that leads us to yoga, or that is the definition of yoga. In Patanjali Yoga Sutras, it's only a stage, dharana, after which dhyana is to come and then samadhi. And samadhi would be the realization of yoga. And not before. But here already dharana, if you can hold steadily senses, withdraw and hold, then you build up yogic consciousness. Apramattas tada bhavati. One becomes very vigilant. Then man becomes very vigilant, for yoga is the birth of things and their ending. The yoga. For yoga is the birth of things and their ending. Shankara interprets, says Sri Aurobindo, it's his note, as yoga has a beginning, birth, so has it an ending. But this is not what the Shruti says. It's written, but it is not what the Shruti says, what the text says. So what does it say? If it is not that. It says, for yoga is the birth of things and their ending. Yoga hi prabhava apyayav. This prabhava apyayav is used in the Gita, in prabhava beginning, there. And api, ayau, apyayau, apyaya is ending. So rising and both, it's in duality, prabhava apyayau, one word, duality. Yoga is indeed this duality, rising and falling, beginning and the end of all things.
Shankara was right in this case. Beginning and the end.
Except the subject is different.
The subject.
Right. This is this translation.
It says yoga has a beginning and the end.
Yes.
No, okay. Yes, yoga,
okay.
Is.
Yoga is the
is.
Beginning
okay.
And the end.
Of all things. But what does it mean, is the beginning and the end of all things? What do you think it is?
First going into something, understanding it very deeply according to this standard, and then it's end, you understand it, you're into it.
All right.
So
number one. Yes, it's a state prior to both. Second, wonderful. Then you?
I didn't understand what.
The beginning, so yoga was before beginning, yoga will be after the end.
I think it's realization of the spirit, realization or manifestation.
Well, what does it, how it relates to the beginning and the
yoga,
end?
You begin when you start to realize. And you start when you finish when you have samadhi.
That's just what I
That's mean. What he says. Has beginning birth and has an ending. And Shubhendu says it's not so.
Not has, is. If it's, it depends who is doing the yoga. And if I'm not doing the yoga, he is doing the yoga. The divine is doing the yoga. That is his yoga. It has no beginning and ending.
It has no beginning and there are no end. Another interpretation. It is before beginning and end, it has no beginning and end. But what, yes, your interpretation, wonderful. What else?
Some the process other? Of learning.
The process of learning. Evolution.
Life.
Life
is yoga.
Life, all life is yoga.
All life is yoga. So you are born and you die is yoga. So it's a beginning and end.
There is something more in this statement.
Depends your work.
And that's something more that the yoga is, if nobody says anything anymore, maybe somebody wants us to say.
I would say how this sentence, but this is not what the Shruti says, it is the key to what does another mean.
Shruti means the text, yes? It means Katha Upanishad, Shruti. Shruti is Katha Upanishad.
Which
this what we are reading.
No.
This is Shruti. It's a part of Shruti text. It's not Shruti who is singing. I'm joking. But
this definitely
it, she also may say the same, yes. So tell me you were saying something. Yes, that's why we are thinking what it means.
Yes.
We are thinking and we see that yoga is not that which has beginning and has end. Yes? It is not yoga which has the beginning and end. Yoga has no beginning and no end. That's why has does not make sense here. It's not of yoga that the beginning and end is. It is the beginning and end of things, of other things, which yoga brings into actuality of our consciousness. We come to the end and to the beginning of things. We begin things anew and we come to their end at the same time. They end when they begin. It's a psychological perception. You are becoming free from things. They start to be different for you and they end for you at the same time. They have no anymore the same place in your life. That's what Sri Aurobindo said in his experience. When things disappeared, when he got nirvanic experience, and then they came back. Yeah? Yes? Two more comments.
I think that what you just said is a subjectivist interpretation.
Yes.
But if yoga is union of the supreme and the manifestation, then it's that power is what generates movement and becoming at the same time that it is that towards which movement and becoming move and become.
Yoga is all, so to say.
So it's not it's not other than the becoming, and yet it is other than the becoming. So that's the light and shadow.
No, it's a good. It's the whole thing, yes? It's the beginning and the end of all things. That means it includes manifestation and it is beyond. That's what yoga is. It's union of these two in one. And what was that? And everything ends. This is subjective, I think.
It is not also that one is a static Brahma, then you are, like you described from Sri Aurobindo, you are not involved in this. You see it, and the other is a dynamic Brahma. You are even in this dynamic process of becoming, but still you are in the...
Yes.
So
you're making subjective that what Rod said in metaphysical terms.
That's why I also said for me it's not so different so much. And
yes.
Depends, of course, you can take the one voice or the other.
Well, I didn't think about the beginning as a transcendental and ending as this side of the hemisphere, so to say. I didn't think in those terms like that. For me, beginning and end are rather on the horizontal scale. It's something else. It's a psychological change which is... But it adds to this perception more and more of what yoga is. I'm sure it's a very dense statement, which means all these things we thought of, and more, I guess. We can find more things in it.
Symbolically, it could be the serpent
biting its tail.
Its own tail and making the completeness of itself, including everything.
Yes.
That is
the beginning and the end. It becomes one.
And completely one.
Yes. 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 Beautiful. Thank you for sharing it. Naiva vacha namanasa praptum shakyo na chakshusha astiti bravatam yatra katham tad upalabhyate. Not with the mind has man the power to get God. No, nor through speech, nor by the eye, unless one says he is. How can one become sensible of him? This is the information. Naiva vacha namanasa praptum shakya na chakshusha astiti bruvato niyatra katham tat upalabhyate. How can you reach that otherwise than affirming it that it is? It is, that means it's now. It's in this moment of time. It's not later, it's not yesterday, and not from Monday I will start my yoga exercises. It's in this moment, eternal moment of time, Only thus you can reach him. Astit yevo palabdhavyah tattva bhavena chobhayoh astit yevo palabdhasya tattva bhavah prasidati. Asti iti upalabdhavyah. One must apprehend God in the concept he is. And also in his essential, tattva bhavena cha, ubhayo, of both, that in the concept that he is, and in his essential, tattva bhavena, in his thatness, by experience, in the concept and by experience, by both. Asti iti eva upalabdhasya. But when he has grasped him as the is, then the essential of God dawns upon a man.
This is so called moksha.
When you know that he is, then it will dawn upon you. Sooner or later it will do that.
Or maybe not that he is.
As the is.
Is he.
Yes, well, moksha is the word which means liberation. Yes.
That's not liberation. I don't know. I'm not
this is the question of being. What is being? If Heidegger says being is what is.
And
so we normally don't perceive the is, but we perceive something. So sometimes in Japanese you get isness. You get a translation of that tattva as isness. So he is all this.
Yeah. The power of this statement is in the affirmation of being. There is this being, asti iti eva upalabdhavyah. This is the way how you can reach him. It's by affirming him that he is. You know. It's not even a belief. It's something else. It's an experience of his presence.
I think when Gopika started on Sunday morning, the invocations there, and then when these invocations come, then you feel how his presence is there. I think invocation in the Indian tradition is one of the tools or methods to call him, to experience him.
And still it is said, neither by the mind nor by the voice, the word, you can really reach him, because only through this presence of him you can reach him. There is no other way to reach him. And there are two things which are mentioned here, of both. It is that affirmation that he is as a concept, and also in his essential, tattva bhavena, ubhayo, and by experience. It's not enough by concept to admit that he is. You have to really get into his tattva, bhava of tattva, of becoming of his thatness. And if you don't have that becoming in you of that thatness, becoming bhava, of tattva, of thatness, then he is not reachable.
There is in Judaism the concept of what they call the Shekinah, which is the presence, not God, it's the presence of God, which must be felt as one goes through all of the necessary things of being Orthodox Jew. But the Shekinah, the presence.
Yes. But, first thing, when he has grasped him as the is, conceptually, then the essential of God dawns upon a man. Then tattva, the becoming of that thatness, is possible. But when he is not knowing about it, he is not holding on to it, he is not thinking about it, he is not tuning to it, he is not seeking it, then how come that it would come? It won't come.
The world is the mind only in that sense.
Yes, this is the usefulness of the mind and mental concept. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridi shritah atha martyo mrito bhavati atra brahma samashnuti. When every desire that finds lodging in the heart of man has been loosened from its moorings. Then this mortal puts on immortality. Puts on. Even here he tastes God. In this human body. Yada sarve pramuchyante kamah ye asya hridi shrita. All the desires which are living in the heart of man, when they become free, loosened, their man becomes free from them, from all those crowded things living in the heart. Atha, thus, martyah, mortal, amrito bhavati, becomes immortal. Atra brahma samashnate, and experiences, enjoys the spirit here. Atra. So these karmas in the heart, that is our problem. If we let them go, become free from them, then we will have a chance to experience the Brahma here.
So, as we had it before, the mind and the heart are the two gates,
Yes, the mind and the heart.
The mind and the heart.
For imagination, for building up a concept, that's why it's Abhikripta is mentioned before. It is by the mind and the heart that you build an image of him, but you cannot reach him by that. It's not enough. He has to dawn upon you when you hold on to this isness, yes, of him. Then he will dawn upon you, then there will be a realization.
The work has to be done on both.
Yes, on both. You cannot do it without mind and heart doing it, wanting it, seeking it. No, even if you believe that he is, what is that belief that he is? Yes, that's exactly the acknowledgement of his presence. That's what people kind of religiously say, oh, because it's all karma, it's all him, yeah? Whatever it's from him, yes. It's the beginning of wanting him to really come. It's kind of drawing his attention to this, our surrender. Yes, it's a big step.
Recognition that he is.
It's not a small thing to do. Try to live like this and see what happens.
This was the topic of Savitri last week. There was the line that we read, if thou wouldst loosen the chain a little, banish thought and sense, and then you will see how the bondage came.
Yes, interesting. It's very useful to bring Savitri in because Savitri explains all those phenomena so in different, very different way, closer to us.
as here we were going out and we just spoke on Saturday, that is the essence, this have to find everywhere.
In ourselves, yes. Yada sarve prabhidyante hridayasya iha granthayah atha martyo mrito bhavati etavad dhi anushasanam. Yea, when all the strings of the heart are rent asunder, even here, in this human birth, then the mortal becomes immortal. This is the whole teaching of the scripture. Shatam chaika cha hridayasya nadiyah tasam murdhanam abhinih sritaika taya urdhvam ayan amritatvameti vishvanganya utkramane bhavanti. 101 are the nerves of the heart, nadiya, those 72,000 nadis running through. And here it is said 101, there are nadiyas in the body. Tasam murdhanam abhinih sritaika. And of all these, only one issues out through the head of a man. By this his soul mounts up. Taya urdhvam ayan amritatvameti, to its immortal home. And the rest lead him to all sorts and conditions of births in his passing. Eti vishvam anya utkramane bhavanti, yes. Others are leading to all kinds of other things. There is only one nadi which leads to the liberation, through the head, murdhanya. It's also described many times. Yes, it goes through talu, it breaks through here.
Children those things. I put in the news to read the book. Is
This is called Brahma Randhara, yes? The whole of Brahma, through which the soul passes when dies, and also joins with the higher spirit. That's why there was an objection of dying, because it's known as a place through which soul is passing away. Angushthamatrav purushontaratma sada jananam hrdaye samnivishtah tam svat sharirat pravrihet munjat iva ishikam dhairiyena tam vidyat shukram amritam iti. The purusha, the spirit within, who is no larger than the finger of a man, is seated forever in the heart of creatures. One must separate him with patience from one's own body, as one separates from a blade of grass its main fiber. Thou shalt know him for the bright immortal, yea, for the bright immortal. Shukram Amritam. Mrityu proktam nachiketo dhalam dva vidyam yetam yoga vidhim cha kritsnam. This is the yoga. The yoga was communicated. Brahma prapto virajo bhut vimrityu anyopi evam yovid adhyatmam eva. Thus did Nachiketas with death for his teacher win the God knowledge. He learned likewise the whole ordinance of yoga. That means yoga vidhi, yeah? The knowledge of yoga. Thereafter he obtained God and became void of stain and void of death. So shall another be who comes likewise to the science of the spirit. And this is the end of Katha Upanishad. Mrityu proktam, spoken by Mrityu, Nachiketa Utkhalabdhva, having attained to that what was revealed, expressed by the death. Vidyameyatam, this knowledge, yoga vidhim chakritsnam, and the whole knowledge of yoga, kritsnam, full, in its fullness. Brahma prapto, having reached the spirit, virajah, virajas, without stain, without dust, pure, abhut, having become, vimrityu, without death, immortal, anyopi evam, and other also, yovid, who finds this way, adhyatmam, this knowledge of the spirit, eva. So another bee who comes likewise to the science of the spirit. So other also can follow this path. It's given for others also to read and to understand. So we finish today Katha Upanishad. Shall we close with a mantra? Shanti, Shanti.